Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly we thank and praise God for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And we are so excited about you, you, and you. We are excited that you have joined us on today. And truly, God is going to richly bless you on today. We welcome you here at home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has a blessing for you on this cast today, and that you are going to walk away richer in the words and the principles of God as never before. Our focus on today will be pressing towards the mark, and you're going to find that in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, verses 10 through 20. And so I'm going to invite you, if you would, to go with me to Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 10 through verse number 20, and we are going to read that scripture as we begin to focus on our goal, which is our goal is heaven, and our journey requires us to press onward and upward. And so we are living in a time where we could feel the press and feel the pushing towards the press into the things of God. So let us go over to our scripture on today. And it reads on this line, that's Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10 through verse number 20. And it reads on this line, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, who in is destruction, who God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at Philippians chapter number 3, verse 14, it said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what our thought is on today. And let us take a look further. You know, when we are born again of the water and of spirit, we begin on this very exciting journey to the everlasting destination. And our ultimate goal is to hear our master say, well done. Now, however, we must stay on the griddle of life and endure the fiery trials that comes, knowing that all things work together for good to them that are called, that love the Lord, and to them which are called according to his purpose. And we find that over in Romans chapter number 8 and 28. And furthermore, we must go through the three steps of being called, chosen, and faithful. Now, on our road to discovery, we must constantly measure our progress by Christ's example. One day, we will reach our destination, a place called heaven, and we will exchange our vile body for an eternal, glorified body like his. Now, let's look on today. We're going to be looking at various aspects. One, we're going to look at Paul's determination, and then we're going to look at Paul's ammunition, and then we're going to look at Paul's ultimate goal as we look at this particular passage of Scripture on today. So let's look at, first of all, here in our lesson text in regards to Paul's determination. And he was determined to know Christ. We must take a moment before we get even into that aspect of that point today, that many people are determined in various aspects and have a determination. Some have a determination to find out which religion is correct. Some have a determination to obtain their own personal goals. Some have a determination to fulfill their own personal dream. Now, Paul, when we begin to look at it, the scripture today, Paul was determined to know Christ. And so let's take a look at the heart of Paul on today. Paul declared to the Philippians his deep-rooted desire, that I may know him. Although mankind was always possessed with a desire to know God, his limited experiences provide little help in the fulfillment of that passion. Upon the arrival of God in human form, mortal finally had the perfect opportunity to learn personally about him. In his epistle, John declared, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hand has handled of the word of life. 1 John 1:1. For the first time in human history, God made himself tangible to mankind so that he could be seen from an earthly standpoint. Jesus was God, manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, and not another person of the Godhead visiting earth. Moreover, the church is built upon this revelation of who Jesus is. See Matthew 16 and 13-18. Now, let's take a look at further, even as the monotheistic Jews, Paul at first had difficulty approaching the idea of a small town in being the preacher as being the deity. We can only imagine how one would have reacted if our contemporaries claimed to be Paul or be God. And so we can see that there was a great struggle going on during that particular time because one of their own contemporaries was claiming to be the deity and being God. And so you can see here, you can imagine this carpenter's son who all knew from Mary and Joseph, now all of a sudden is claiming it and starting to claim himself as the very God himself. And so now you can see the great controversy that is going on. And so, however, Paul's personal encounter with the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus changed everything for him. Paul encountered the glorified one in all his glory that day, and it changed his mind forever. Acts 9:17. And from that point forward, Paul began a lifelong quest to know more about Jesus Christ. And he was obsessed with the desire to possess that knowledge. The word know first appeared in the Bible, where Adam knew Eve, his wife. We find that over in Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1. This indicated an intimate personal relationship based on knowledge shared by the two of them. This familiarity came from spending time together and sharing one with another through mutual consent. Paul used a familiar word to describe his desired relationship with Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ. We also desire to know all we can of him so we can be like him. Now, to know Christ involves having a relationship of oneness with him, which includes a person's complete surrender to God. Such a relationship requires repentance of sin, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receiving the Holy Spirit. You'll see that over in Acts 2, verse 38. Now, the fleshly body then become a temple of the Holy Ghost. You'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. From that point forward, a child of God should continue to allow the Spirit to guide them and reveal to them all truth. You'll see that over in John chapter 16, verse 13. Consequently, knowing Christ becomes a lifetime learning experience. We're constantly learning of Christ. We're constantly gaining a greater understanding because we are walking with him each and every day, and he's revealing unto us daily and empowering us daily as we walk with him. Now, after the initial new birth experience, one must continue their quest to know Christ. The best way a person to accomplish that is to obey the word of God and to experience his lessons learned both through the word and action of the person of Jesus Christ, and we begin to emulate that which we learn. Once we learn that God is a forgiving God, guess what? We begin to emulate that same type of forgiveness, of forgiving our sisters and brethren, forgiving one another. When we learn that God is a God of compassion, we begin to emulate compassion in our lives. When we learn that God is a merciful God, we begin to emulate mercy in our lives and things. And so because we're learning of him, conforming into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and bearing the fruit and the fruit of his righteousness. Now, through God's word, a person learns of the words and action of Jesus in response to situations of life. And they can begin to emulate those things in which we've learned. Now, every child of God should practice Christ's habits, even the habits of prayer, self-edification attributes, his passion for the lost soul. And when we begin to look at the self-efficacy attributes, and his attributes was those of forbearance, those was of also long-suffering, those of gentleness and kindness, love, patience. And we can see that over in Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit, beginning to emulate those type of attitudes and attributes even in our own life. It said, even in the time of unprecedented evil, how marvelous it would be for the Spirit to perform more miracles through the church to bring about a greater measure of revival. The more a child of God knows about Jesus Christ and his power, the more Christ is able to demonstrate his power through that individual. Hence, the child of God should build a relationship with Christ that allowed the Holy Spirit to operate freely and dramatically through them. Our motto should be less of us and more of him until all people see Jesus Christ shining through our lives. Now, the scripture revealed that on the judgment day, Jesus would announce to a specific group, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. Why would Jesus say to people who could cast out demons and devils and to many mighty works through the power of his name? Surely it must be that they did not really, truly know him. They were busy seeking to do their own will instead of his, not fully obeying his word. True submission to Christ required the denial of one's fleshly desire and selfish will and ambition. Another way to know Christ is through the fellowship of his suffering. As a person becomes one with him through total surrendering to his word, and he finds himself at odds with many of those who do not fully know him. The world hates the church because it is the active body of Christ today. The carnal entrance and entertainment of the world directly oppose the consecration and the spiritual joy of the true child of God. The world hates holiness and purity because it separates a person from the world and condemns that person because of their sin. See 1 John 2:15. And even in that condemnation, there is a way out of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, further, as a person identifies with Christ, they submit to Christ's holiness and becomes more like him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:14-16. Now, further, bearing the precious name of Jesus is another distinguishing mark of being a child of God. As individual takes on his name when they are baptized in the name of Jesus, one should note that every baptism mentioned in the book of Acts involved the name of Jesus. You'll find the baptism. Acts 2:38, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5. And as the scripture said, out of the two or three witness, every word shall be established. And for those that are still baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I want you to go and begin to search out in your Bible where you see three witnesses of him being baptized, the actual baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in the scripture, outside of the gospel, in the book of Acts, which is the history of the church. And so when you begin to look at the history of the church, and when we begin to talk about the history of the church, we're talking and making reference in after the commission, the Great Commission, before Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, the commission that he was given unto the apostles at that time, who was the disciples. After they received that commission and begin to carry out that command, when you begin to look, you'll find nowhere in scripture that anybody was baptized in the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost. And we're talking about from those who carried out the great command and the great commission. You will always find them baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And those that have been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I invite you to go back and study the scripture and to see whether these things be. And you look in through the book of Acts and you find out, you will find nobody was ever baptized in the Father, Son, or the Holy Ghost. But you will see the disciples who's carrying out that great commission, they did baptize in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. You'll find that in Acts 2:38, Acts 10:48, Acts 19:5. You check that out. You read it. And things, and you will find that these words are true. Many times a person immediately feels opposition upon making their choice. Jesus foretold this when he stated that his disciple would be hated of all men for his name's sake. You'll find that over in Mark chapter number 13 through 13. And we find that many times when people say, well, are you Jesus only, or if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, many times those that are being baptized or those that baptize candidate in the name of Jesus are sometimes hated. But that's what the scripture said over in Mark 13 and 13, that they will be hated for his name's sake. And so now I want to encourage you to go back and study the scripture. Go back and look into the word of the Lord, and you'll find that these things do be true. And even for that candidate that who is getting ready to be baptized in Jesus' name, sometimes they come up under great opposition because they're taking on the name of Jesus, because they're being baptized into the body of Christ and being engrafted into the body of Christ through the baptism of the name of Jesus. And so as a child of God, we know that Christ, in part by experiencing the abuse that he had to endure, Paul felt honored to partake of this suffering and admonished believers to not to be ashamed of it. 2 Timothy 2 and 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. As one experienced triumphs and disappointment Christ went through, then he will truly know him. Now let's look further at the lesson on today. Paul pressed toward the ultimate goal. Now, life without goal is like a ship on the sea without a destination. A child of God goal is found in the word of the old gospel song, "Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face." Even like Enoch, the child of God walks along life's pathway until God takes them home. And we'll find that over in Genesis 5 and chapter 5 and verse 22. Paul lists a sequence of events in Philippians 3 that will make the believer's destiny sure when they follow it. Now let's take a look at that over Philippians chapter number 3, verses number 12 to verse number 15. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let us therefore, as many as be perfect, let us be thus minded. And if anything ye have otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Over in Philippians 3, chapter number 12 through verse 15. Now first of all, a person must forget the past. And this is one of the aspects that sometimes that grips our hearts and grips in our mind. That's why we got to bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ, because our past and the thoughts of the past sometimes comes to hold us bound and gripped in and not allowing the individual to move forward. But the Bible admonishes us to forget the past. We have to let the past go. Yes, that happened. Yes, those things transpired in our life. But now I'm living in the newness of life. Now I'm living in a brand new day. That's why the scripture says and admonishes that his mercy are new every day. And so as a child of God, we have the privilege of applying the mercies of God to our life and be merciful to yourself. We can show mercy to everybody else. And sometimes God said, I want you just to show mercy unto yourself. Yes, you made some dumb decision. Yes, some of the decision and choices was not profitable or was not a blessing or not come to help us and not come to bless us in a mighty and a special way. But what we have to do as children of God, we have to be merciful unto ourselves. and allow God's mercy and even our own mercy be applied to our life. Oh, child of God, I felt deliverance hit somebody right there. I felt God just release somebody right there because you took enough courage and enough boldness to forgive yourself and to be merciful unto yourself. I heard the Spirit of the Lord had saying that you are not accountable for how other people treat you, but you are accountable for how you treat yourself and how you treat others. Yes, some people are not merciful. Some people are not forgiving. Some people hold on to grudges and hold on to things that have happened in the past. You are not responsible for that. And what you got to say in your mind, I'm not responsible for what and how somebody else and how somebody else treat me. But what you are responsible for is how you treat others and how you treat yourself and how you receive that which God has done and given unto us as the child of God. And when you begin to embrace all that God has for us and just begin to say, I embrace everything. I embrace his grace. I embrace his mercy. I embrace his love. I embrace his power. I embrace everything that he has for me. And once you begin to embrace everything that God has for you, you are going to experience, you're going to receive all that he has for you as a child of God. So yes, we press forward. We press forward and keep pressing forward. As I speak it into your heart today, press forward in the things of God and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. That happened yesterday. That happened years ago. That happened 40 years ago, and it doesn't have to hold you bound anymore. Apply the blood of the Lamb of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, over every area of your life and live in the relevancy of today, of the newness of life that God has given. Do what you need to do. Be responsible, but move forward. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not over till God said it's over. And trust God. God, I know you got a plan. I know you have thoughts. Lord, think on me. You've already thought on me. Now I move into your thought. I move into your will. I move into what you're doing in and through my life. God, you are the great I am and the lily of the valley. And I step into the great I am and walk into your anointing and your power. You are my God. You're my Savior, and you're the creator of this world. And if God created this world, think about it, child of God. If God created Mount St. Helens, if God created the Twin Mountains, if God created everything in this world, don't you know the same God is able to create a miracle on your behalf, that he's able to make a way out of no way? Tell him who he is. Worship him and praise him and give him the glory and honor that is due unto his name. Come on, child of God, and just holler, hallelujah. Glory be unto the Lamb, our God. Oh, he's a wonderful God. He's the everlasting Savior. He's the great I am, and he's going to do it on your behalf. Now let us look further. I feel the anointing. I feel the power of God right there. Yes, I do. And he's going to do it for you. Yes, people, I just feel people are in so many things that is coming up against their souls, that's coming up against them right now. People are losing their home. People are losing their job. People are losing their family. People are losing their livelihood. People are suffering loss on every hand. But I come to speak life to somebody today. I come to speak strength into your life. I come and speak hope back into your spirit and faith to come back alive in the name of Jesus. I come to speak unto your hearts today to take courage. Yes, the God that you serve, he's still able and he's still working miracles on behalf of his people. Press forward in your faith. Press forward in hope. Press forward in determination. Press forward in the abilities and the power possibilities of God, who's able to do all things but fail. Watch God do it. Now, we must recognize that another point, that a child of God must early and eagerly strive and press towards your spiritual goals. Everyone can do something for God, no matter what their age is or circumstances or even your ability. One should always reach forward. And the Greek word is reaching forth is synthetic, or referred to an athlete throwing himself forward in the race with all of their energy and strain to the very utmost. And as we can begin to look at that athlete, that one that is running and things, I'm sure that at the last stretch of the mile and things towards their goal, they could feel the tiredness of their body, but it's something in their spirit that the adrenaline and the synergy and the energy just begin to kick in because of the determination in their mind to press forward and to win that race. And such as it is for the child of God, we have to allow the spiritual adrenaline and the spiritual synergy and energy to begin to flow in our spirit, even when we see the goal and see it almost afar off. You got to be determined that you're going to make your goal. You got to be determined you're going to get the Bible study. You got to be determined that you're going to be in the house of God. You got to be determined in your spirit that you're going to read your Bible. You got to be determined that you're in it to win it and that you're in to the very end. And I wanted to say even that this whole year, people have found themselves in great battles and great testing and trial, but you still have to be determined in your spirit that you are more than a conqueror. Let's look and examine. Now, this is not in our lesson, but I just feel the Holy Ghost say, go this direction. When we begin to look at Joshua, it was admonished he had received a word that was spoken to him to be strong and be very courageous. And so it is that the children of God, that still same word that was spoken to Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, verse number 8, is still relevant for the children of God today. You got to be strong, even in the midst of your weakness. You got to be strong and make up in your mind to be strong and determined in your heart and your mind and spirit. And be very courageous. Now, we here in this particular region, we have just in the news a couple of days ago about a lady who was lost in the Cascade Mountain, and there was some snow, a snowstorm that had been taking place up there in the Cascade. Now, this woman, they are amazed at this miracle of this woman who survived it. She was even an older lady, but one of the things that she said, matter of fact, there were several things that she said, is that she was already a trained mountain climber, so she already had some skills, number one. But the other thing that was very astonishing is that it was through her determination in her mind to think on her children, to think on getting back there to see them, and to begin to think on happy things and successful things and positive things. And then number two, she said that she was praying, and she knew that others were praying for her. And then through her skills and her ability, she was able to survive this several nights out in the cold, not being fully dressed to survive it, knowing how to keep her body warm by constantly moving and things so her body parts would continue to stay warm and things. So this woman began to use all of her skills and all of her abilities and everything that she knew to help her to survive the treacherous terrain and the treacherous condition that she was facing there in the Cascade Mountain. And so I come to tell somebody today that you may be dealing with your spiritual Cascade Mountains, but it's time now to begin to exercise everything that you know of God by beginning to, in the determination of your mind, to speak what the word of God is saying about your situation and to begin to keep moving forth, to keep that fire burning in your spiritual heart and things and in your members of your body and things as you continue to move forward. Yes, God is going to work this thing out and begin to speak forth and know that other people are praying on your behalf and that God is being touched by the feelings of your infirmity and you will survive this thing. Help is on the way. Don't you know this woman was the rescue team found this woman and was able to bring her back to safety and to be able to have a profound testimony of the miraculous power of God, which we all know it was God whose mighty hand saved this woman. And so I come to tell you in your spiritual mountain terrains and the coldness that you're feeling and things and some of the things that's coming up against you, wondering why all these things are happening. The God that which you serve saying, keep speaking the word. There's life in the word. Life of power and death is in your tongue. Continue to press forward of what you know to be true and things in the word. Know that God have his false spot about you. And to give you an expected end in every circumstance and in every situation and press forward as never before and watch God do it in and through your life. And so eagerly, with excitement, press forward towards your goal. Even though it seems like all things are being torn apart, keep pressing forward and watch God do it. And so the child of God should not be entangled with those who love to criticize and complain. They should not look at others and compare themselves with others. They must run on while concentrating on the finish line and not be a quitter, because a quitter will never win. Winners never quit. So too many do not have the self-discipline to continue until the end. And so we have to discipline ourselves that I am going to stay in the race and I'm going to watch what God's going to do because I'm staying in the process of what God is doing in and through my life. Now, thirdly, the child of God must press towards the goal. The word press means that I have to make a run or flee or to put to flight or drive away. So Matthew chapter 23, verses 34 and chapter 2, it said to run swiftly in order to catch something or a person or a thing or to run after, to harness and things, to pursue or to be even persecuted or to be maltreated. Or suffer persecuted on account of something. And so Galatians 6:12-4, and it says, without the ideal of hostility to run after, follow after someone. Luke 17:33, metaphorically with the accusation of a thing, to pursue or to seek after earnestly and earnestly endure to acquire. Now, all of those was just definition from the scripture in regards about being pressed. We can be pressed by being pursued or even being pressed by being harassed or being pressed by being persecuted or maltreated or suffer persecuted, being pressed by running thereafter or being pressed by following hard after or following something. So all of these definitions are looking at being pressed. And we do find ourselves sometimes as children of God in various types of press. Press by running hard or running after God or being pressed by being persecuted and things or being maltreated, being pressed by seeking earnestly or eagerly after God or the things of God. So when we begin to look at that word press, that word denotes press in several different types of manners of being pressed. And that's true, what we find ourselves sometimes being pressed. Now, one must continue, even in that type of oppress, they must continue to push and push back by praying until something happens. We must continue on forward until we achieve the goal of knowing Jesus Christ intimately. He gives us that ability to know him intimately, individually, and yet collectively. One should carefully note the example of Christ that the writer gave over in Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now the child of God should bear their cross while keeping their eyes on the future, rejoicing. The one who finished the race has the promise of the day, exchanging his cross for a crown. Now let's look at another part as we move forward. Paul's admonition. Paul, he wanted to share some lesson he had learned along life's way and life's pathways. Wise is the man who can learn from others without having to learn from his own painful experience. Now, let's take a look here. Now, to be like-minded and walk by the same rules. Now, let's take a look at that, because this is going to give you principles, and this is going to give you greater understanding of things that can empower you and that can enable you to be even a greater man or woman of God, child of God, because you're learning the discipline that it takes to become a mature child of God in the things of God if you receive these principles. Now, after sharing the good advice, Paul appealed to everyone to be of the same mind and work toward unity in the church. Unity results when all with one accord in one place, as they were on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Paul had previously exhorted the Philippians to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 and 5. That of humility and obedience, seeking the will of God instead of one's own way. The child of God should both conform to this standard and also seek to understand the viewpoint of others who may have a different opinion rather than ostracize them. Now, the person genuinely clashes with others when they attempted to interpret the action of others through their own beliefs and opinion and experience. Sometimes one feels that everyone must have and share their experience and agree with them. The truth is, all have different backgrounds and have arrived from various walks of life. And if a person disagrees with another person, he should pray and seek the mind of Christ, who will open their understanding and provide guidance to enable the two individuals to pursue agreement. Moreover, sometimes the child of God will have to agree to disagree, and that's okay. Now, Jesus prepared his disciples for further truth when they were unable to receive it. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall speak not of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and ye shall show you things to come. John 16, verses 2 through 13. Each believer should allow the love of God to be the unifying force. Jesus declared, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 13, verses 35. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for the love of God constrain us, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Now, it actually means that God's love came to hold us together, to press us together, to shut us up together, to press us and to compel us and to excite us in things. And you'll find that from the Barnes Note Electric database when you begin to look at the original context of that word of constrain is come to hold us together. Paul advised those who had matured in Christ to walk by the same rule. When a church operates otherwise, new converts become confused. It is important that these young ones receive a clear signal and uniform example from the established believers that we are walking together in unity by walking by the same rules. Also, ward criticism from those outside the church who are looking to find fault in criticism. Everyone is at the different level of understanding and learning. A child of God should tolerate one another and attempt to understand the view of one another. Nevertheless, God has provided the church with spiritual leadership in order to promote unity and to point every believer toward full perfection. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. It reads on this line, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the sons of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ." Paul admonished, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them that walk in as so as ye have us for an example." Philippians 3:17. He was not being ostentatious when he set himself up as an example to follow. His longevity of faithful service to Christ, his strict adherence to Christ's example, and the physical marks of persecution he bore were testimony enough. If each church member walked by the same rule, all will evidently come to unity of the faith. And so here it is, admonishing us unto that unity of the faith, walking together hand in hand, believing and pressing forward. Will we disagree? Yes. Will we not have the same opinion? Yes. But it's God's love that's going to constrain us to love one another and continue to walk in that unity, because we already have the example through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also through those that had came thereafter, the Apostle Pauls, be the disciples, of staying and walking together in unity. And as never before, the body of Christ should be unified as never before, coming together in unity as never before. And things praying and asking God and seeking the heart and the mind of God for revelation, for God to reveal unto the body of Christ and to individual his heart, mind, and even spirit and soul in regarding to what he has for the church. Now, let us look further. It said, "Beware of the enemies of the cross." And the church do have many enemies of the cross. Now, let's look at that. Many people will talk about how they love God, but there are some that hate the cross. And so let's take a look at this. It said Philippians 3, verses 18 through 19. It said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, who end is destruction, and who God is their belly, and who glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." Now let's look further. Those who refuse to conform in order to promote unity persist in their own independent way. Beware of them. They are not interested in the good of the whole body. They are interested only in themselves. And you find that really greatly in the body and the church of God, saying, "Oh, I'm going to do my own work, but this is what God's telling me to do," and things. They're seeking their own way and their will and things as opposed to conforming and moving into unity and oneness with the body of Christ. always causing concision, always causing confusion, always kicking against the leadership that is within the body of Christ, always going in error of the leadership, going in the opposite direction as opposed to coming together in unity and staying in a spirit of prayer and saying, God, give me understanding, and even bless our leaders and our leadership so that they can have a greater understanding of God and the things of God. And so that unity is very key and has been admonished throughout the body, and they can become enemies of Christ and of the cross and not even recognize it. Let us look further. These will not take up the cross of self-denial, but instead live only to fulfill the lust of their flesh. Children of God are not to follow those who go their own ways, and not to be partakers of the sins of others, lest they reap the bitter harvest with them. Revelation 18 and 4, 1 Timothy 5 and 22, that same rebellion that taken place even in heaven and thing, where even Satan himself said, I will. He wanted to ascend above that which was of God Almighty. And so we have to be careful, even when the man or the woman God say, you know, that's not timing. We don't want to do that right now. That's not the timing. I need you to do this, and so that the body can move forward. You know, a denial delay doesn't mean a denial. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, but maybe not right at that time. And being in ministry for over 30 years, seeing that there are times that all things are lawful, but everything is not expedient in things. And knowing how to follow in after leadership is key, and things, and is vital. If your person can't follow, surely they can't lead. And things, being able to follow thereafter the will and the plan that God has set for the children of God is key. Unity in the body of Christ is key. Let us look further at the scripture over in 1 John 2, verses 19 through 20. It said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. 1 John 2, verses 19 through 20. So here it is in scripture. It said they went out from us because they were not of us. And God is going to manifest and allow all things be made known that they were not of us is why they left and things. And so we must recognize that. The child of God must be careful with whom they fellowship with, because bad attitudes are like a virus. They can become contagious and destructive, which is easily true for new converts. Jesus prophetically uttered that many shall be offended because their love shall wax cold. See Matthew 24, 10, and 12. And so sometimes the offense comes because of coldness, of being cold. The tool of causing offense have become one of Satan's primary tactics to destroy unity and the revival in the church. Criticism, fault-finding, rebellion against leadership are some of the other destructive tools. Now, have we not experienced that? And are we not experiencing that even more so in the body of Christ, as never have before? Have heard nothing but criticism coming sometime even out of the body of Christ. Criticism, leadership, complaining against leadership, complaining and rebelling against leadership. Those are some of the tactics, and finding fault, finding criticism, teacher teaching against even the same preaching and teaching and of leadership, refuting and challenging leadership. Instead of being on their face crying and praying and saying, Lord, let truth prevail and let your word have precourse and let your word have preeminence in and through our leaders and through the things of God that you've given, now we're finding people up standing up in the middle of the body of Christ complaining, criticizing, challenging, as opposed to falling down and praying and saying, Lord, let your truth prevail and let your word have preeminence and let your word have precourse among the men and the women of God. And so we don't want your same very gift to become of a tool against the enemy and things, or a tool in the hand of the enemy of criticizing against the own very body of Christ and how God has already fashioned this body. So when bitterness and when criticism and when fault-finding and when rebellion start coming up even in your own heart and even in your own mind, that's a good time and a good place to begin to pray. That's a good time and a good place to begin to cast that care upon the Lord. That'll be a good place and a time to begin to say, God, what am I seeing or why am I feeling that? So that you can grab a hold of truth, or even if you find it in the house of God, of people murmuring and complaining against the man or the woman of God, the leadership that God has placed in the body of Christ, that's a good time to start saying, no, we are going to pray. We're going to pray and ask God for God's will to be done, as opposed to standing up and opposing and kicking against even prophets. And you have to be careful. Even teachers, you have to be careful. Evangelists, you have to be careful. Even teachers, you have to be careful. And things that you're in the line and the will of the Lord, unless the adversary will take your own very gifting, your own very tools, and cause it to become criticism, fault-finding, and rebelling in the house of God as a tool of destructive tool against the will and plan of God, of causing offense through your own very gift that God has given unto us as the body of Christ. So we have to be careful and continue to cover the things that we do and say in prayer, bathe it in prayer, saturate it in prayer, and things, and watch God bring forth truth. And you'll understand, and God will reveal what the enemy is doing. Proverbs 6 and 16 through 19 lists the seven things that God hates. The last one of these admonition listed is, he that soweth discord among the brethren. One should avoid people who are constantly crapping about some inequality in the church. This type of person is only looking for someone to support and agree with them against authority. Such a person is an enemy of the cross, unwilling to sacrifice his own will and submit to the will of the body of Christ for the sake of unity. And so Psalms 33:37 and 37 said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, Jesus admonished, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, Matthew 24 and 13. One should determine in their own heart to endure misunderstanding and perceived mistreatment. If an individual continues to be loyal both to God and to the church, which with the right attitude, question and understanding will be resolved eventually. A child of God should have a made-up mind to be successful in church where God has placed them and allowing nothing to separate them from Christ. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Now let's look at another point. It said Paul's ultimate goal was to be with Christ in heaven. Paul was very goal-orientated. The following example revealed how he viewed his purpose in this life and his ultimate desire for eternity. You'll find that over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 states, for I am in a straits between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, Paul never lost sight of his goal, staying focused on his desire to be with Christ. His nationality was not this world. Rather, he claimed citizenship in heaven. A person should never allow temporal things that matters least to control eternal things that matters most. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 18 through chapter 5, verses 1. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a builder of God, a house not made with heaven, eternal in heaven. Now, one should always ask themselves questions regarding their own direction and destination. To the child of God, this world is not home. He is bound for the promised land. The word of God revealed that a believer can follow Christ beyond death, even unto a world that is to come. And to know so, however, he must be filled with the same spirit that indwelled Christ. Romans 8, chapter 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in him, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken his mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in him. For one to be filled with the Spirit, they must obey the plan of salvation first to those who gathered on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 21, verse 37 through 39. And it reads on this line, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, and many as are the Lord our God shall call. Now, let's look further. Our bodies to be changed. If one obey the word of God, someday his vile body will be changed to be like the resurrected body of Jesus. When Jesus came for his bride and comes for his bride, those who have been born again shall be transformed instantly from mortal to immortality, spiritual being to a glorified body. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we now are, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One song said, what will it be when we get to heaven over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea? We shall see our loved ones and crown Christ forever. This is just what heaven means to me. What shall the child of God be? What do we know? But we know that we shall be like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, verse 42 through 44. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Is it sown in corruption? It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, the final resurrection is the goal of every child of God. The ultimate prize of having an eternal, immortal, and glorified body should keep every child of God pressing towards the mark. And that's our mark that we press forward and towards. Now, let's look in closing. We are all pilgrims bound for the promised land, and our life's goal is to know Christ and to reach his goal. We must forget those things in our past that would drag us down. We must constantly reach forth unto the mark of the perfection that Christ has set for us. Enemies of the cross attempt to sidetrack us unto and into dead-end roads of bitterness, criticism, and disunity. We should not follow them, but we should stay under the authority God has placed within the church. We should conform to the guidelines taught, for there are safety guardrails to keep us on the straight and narrow path. We are citizens of another world that we will one day exchange carnal, corruptible, vile body for the glorified body that of Christ Jesus. Let us press on until we hear the Master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25 and verse 21. And so here it is. We press towards that mark. Press past persecution. Press past being mistreated and maltreatment. Press past sickness sometimes that try to grip the body. Press past all of the opposition that one may feel. As we press forward the high calling, which are in Christ Jesus, let us run this race. Let us press forward as never before, in and through the things of God. Truly, we must recognize this whole world is not our home. We're just sojourners passing through. So, child of God, when you begin to see criticism, when you begin to see disunity, when you begin to see rebellion, go in that opposite way. Have nothing to do with it. Don't become a complainer. Don't become one that's filled with criticism. But be unified with the body of Christ that God has planted you there. Whatever church God have you there, he planted you there. And as you plant yourself into God's vineyard in the place that he's planted you at, move forward. Get busy in the house of God and to help build up the kingdom of God and things. Remember the principles and sometimes even the rules and the regulations and guidelines that are in that church are the guardrails and the safety net to keep you on that straight and narrow path. Hold fast and hold on. If you see the man or the woman of God and things, you have an obligation to pray for them that they continue on in the truth, that when opposition come against them and when they are in the heat of the battle, that God will strengthen them and help them. That is our role and responsibility as the children of God, even as Aaron and Ur did, held up Moses' hand. So he could continue to win the battle. And that's our place and our role as to children of God. When you are there in the house of God, pray for the man of God, pray for the woman of God, that God will keep them speaking the truth and keep them walking in that straight and narrow way and leading the people of God to the higher places where God wants them to be. And God will surely do it in and through the lives of his people. And so, child of God, I pray that you are blessed today. I pray that you want to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you continue to press forward, upward and over all the opposition that will come up against you and even against your own mind and determination to be all that God wants you to be. And watch God bless you. Watch God undergird you. Watch God fortify you. Watch God work it out on your behalf. So be encouraged on today. The God in heaven, in which we serve, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. So, child of God, let that power work. Let the Holy Ghost flow in your life. Let him bring revelation to your mind and to your spirit. The Bible said that he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Let it come and let it happen in your life, and don't let it tarry. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We thank you for all of our listeners on today. We take this time to bind the forces of darkness and plead the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Yeshua, the blood of Jesus against the adversary that will want to come and rob the seed of this word on today. Father, we ask that it, Lord, find root and place in the heart of your listeners. And Father, we thank you and we give you the glory and the honor. We ask, oh God, that you manifest, God, even today, your sovereign will and plan in the life of your people. Bless every leader, strengthen them, undergird, let their tongue and their voice be like thunder, oh God, even in this world and time today. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, in my closing, I will say always, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Child of God, hold fast and be encouraged. Take heart and be encouraged. Don't let your mouth be filled with criticism, fault-finding, and rebellion. Keep your heart clear and clean before the Lord God Almighty. Unify yourself with the body of Christ and watch God do it. Keep praying. Keep seeking the heart and the mind of God and watch God do it in and through your life. This is our prayer. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you and fortify and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.